There was a poll done over the weekend about what percentage of Canadians are even aware that this controversy is going on. Mike Van Solen in studio with us here on Fight Back. Were you surprised by what happened yesterday?
I was in sort of many respects. I was first. I'm surprised by the nature of the resignation. Usually, when someone, you know, Kim even made the point, which is correct. You know, the conventional wisdom that somebody has to go. But what we missed in this was that someone taking responsibility for something that has happened and then leaving. That would be the normal course of events, where a prime minister would accept the resignation and say, you know, something along the lines of, you know, I learned that my staff, you know, didn't act appropriately with respect to this file and with respect to how we handled the attorney general. The rule of law is the utmost importance. You know, so it was with deep regrets that I accept Jerry's resignation, and we're gonna do better, and et cetera, move on.
Right.
But what we had here was, you know, the idea that maybe he's the scapegoat, except he hasn't accepted responsibility for anything. So no questions are answered, which really just leads me to believe that if you look at what's the strategy of this, I think Jerry, for whatever reason, feels that he would be better placed, and maybe the party believes too, would be better placed to handle whatever more incoming fire there is going to be, that he's going to be better doing that from a position outside of the party. But, you know, as far as issues management 101...
You mean as just his friend?
I think he's just going to be outside of the party now, and whatever, that will give him a freedom, maybe to draw fire if it's going to be ultimately directed at him. But, you know, when we think of, like, what's the conventional issues management 101, when you let a senior staffer go or you let a minister go, you need them to sort of cauterize the rest of the party from the accusations that are being made. But that only works if you know, you say, Mr. McCallum, you know, you're no longer our diplomat to China. You screwed up twice and you're out.
Right. People get that.
Right.
Yes.
But this one, I don't know how people are supposed to interpret it. So we pass around sort of this idea that, oh, somebody had to go. But somebody has to go for a purpose. And that's what we don't have yet. Because so much of the story is untold. We have to, of course, hear from Jody Wilson-Raybould about her perspective on it. But clearly there's some, you know, look, we're left to speculate, I guess, in the vacuum of there being no other information. We're left to speculate. Clearly something went on. There was some disagreements about how this file was handled. But with only half the story, here we are. And I just don't think Mr. Butts's resignation serves the standard purpose, which is cauterizing a government from accusations that are being made of it, because he accepts no responsibility for having done anything wrong.
Right. Mike, that's exactly it. We are all left to speculate. Ali Salam, how are you thinking about the way the turn of events over the last couple of days, even the last week?
Yeah, sure. So to Mike's last point, I think it's even more complicated because we're dealing with a sourced allegation in the Globe and Mail that we haven't really heard the details of from anyone on the record yet. And so, to Mike's point, I think having Jody Wilson-Raybould actually speak to the public or speak to this publicly is going to be key in figuring out actually what's gone on here. Certainly, Mr. Butts' departure is as Mike's pointed out, challenging for the government, no doubt. And it really creates it's answering a question that we're not sure what the entire question is. In fact, with what we've seen thus far in the Globe and Mail and the various comments that the Prime Minister has made thus far, jumping back to something Kim said, actually, I just want to comment that I would challenge that Katie Butts is the second in command in the Prime Minister's
Katie
office.
Katie Telford.
Sorry, Jesus, Katie
yeah.
Telford.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I really think they functioned as two parts of the same leadership team. In my own experience, I certainly found that to be true. And so I don't know that it's a case of first and second. It really was two equals. And so certainly this puts a greater weight on Katie Telford to, as you were saying earlier, you know, talk to the caucus, talk to the ministers, get everything right in the ship of state in an election year.
I guess the only thing that jives, if they're trying to create an argument, Trudeau is saying that she was never pressured, never directed, were his words. She was never directed, Jody Wilson-Raybould. And so Gerald Butts in resigning is towing that line. She was never directed. She was never pressured by the prime minister or by anyone in the prime minister's office. So I guess that part of it is consistent.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of lack of clarity here. To Mike's point, you know, traditionally it is in reaction to a concrete allegation with responsibility taken. I think the challenge here is that we're looking at an unclear situation as to what's going forward. Certainly the communications around this have been challenging, no doubt, to say the least. And so we're dealing with a situation where Gerald Butts has resigned. He's saying that he's done nothing wrong. It sounds like he's reacting preemptively to an allegation that will come forward. We'll only know when Jody Wilson-Raybould is out there making that claim. Ideally, I think for all of us, we'd like to hear that sooner rather than later, and certainly for your listeners as well, so they can get to the bottom of this. But he's, you know, we've kind of jumped to the end of the novel. We've flipped to the back pages, and the answer is Gerald Butts has taken responsibility for something, whether it's the management of the conversation itself,
right?
But not so much, it would seem, the potential issue.
Right, and the wrongdoing, the allegations.
If it turns out to be true, which we also don't know yet.
Well, and that's the interesting part of all this, too, Kim Wright. And you're listening to Zoomer Radio's Fight Back. Jane for Libby, we're discussing the latest scenario here with the SNC-Lavalin controversy. The prime minister's top advisor resigning yesterday. All goes back to a Globe and Mail article on February 7th with unnamed sources saying that the former Justice Minister Jody Wilson-Raybould was pressured to ease up on SNC-Lavalin, their corruption case. So Kim, do we have any idea, since we're all about speculation at this point, who are these unnamed sources in the Globe and Mail story?
Well, unnamed sources are always entertaining for everyone, including pundits like ourselves. But this actually goes back even farther when Ms. Wilson-Raybould was shuffled out. In fact, most people had thought and assumed at the time that, in fact, her demotion, let's call it what it was more around the missing and murdered Indigenous women file and not the SNC-Lavalin file. So fast forward a week or so later, and here we have, in fact, it's actually more about SNC-Lavalin than the broader public policy shamble that has been how they've handled the murder and missing Indigenous women file. It has been fascinating to watch this unfold, and for really extraordinary political operatives like they have around the prime minister to have mismanaged, frankly, at the end of 2018 and early 2019 so terribly, going from Huawei to this, it's just been extraordinary to watch it unfold. As you're going into an election cycle, what else is coming forward? What will happen in today's cabinet meeting, for sure, and tomorrow's caucus meeting? And how are they going to, frankly, right this ship? Because it is pretty extraordinary. Plus, you also have, and let's not forget, the hashtag that went over the internet this weekend, had Scott Bryson not resigned, that there's all of those situations around Irving Shipbuildings and all of the rest of that. This has been mismanaged. The prime minister's office has thought that they could skate on through and skate on by, and they're being held to account on this.
So if we look at the timeline, on October 9th, federal prosecutors refused to offer SNC-Lavalin a remediation agreement. That comes about 3 weeks after the conversation in Ottawa between Justin Trudeau and Jody Wilson-Raybould, Monday, September 17th. He says, Mike, that she asked him if he was directing her, and he said no. How does that conversation back on September 17th play into the whole thing?
Well, look, we have his perspective on what that conversation involved, but we don't have her perspective on how that conversation unfolded. So I think that's going to be really critical. Left to speculate, I think we'll find that there were other conversations too. I believe on some level we're going to hear a version from Jody Wilson-Raybould that she did feel that there was a lot of political pressure being put upon her. And we know this in part because when she was shuffled in from cabinet out of the office of Attorney General, she wrote that rather sort of wild, resignation thing on her Facebook. And Kim sort of alluded to it. But it got into all this stuff about the importance of the rule of law and the autonomy of the Attorney General. And it was a bit of a head scratching thing where we all read it and said, OK, that sounds fine. But look, until she speaks, here I am left to speculate. But, I can only interpret that to mean that she did feel that there was some pressure that was improper. And that's why she decided to sort of vent or put that out there in that way. It will all be critical. This will all hang on the idea of what did she perceive the pressure to have been. Did she think it was actually forcing her to, the Attorney General Hippocratic Oath, sort of speak, that she felt it was compromising her decision-making in some way. But this is a government, the idea back that was mentioned earlier, does the general public sort of get this? And your timeline goes all the way back to September. And I think what we've seen is sort of 4 months of really odd stories, whether it's McCallum or Huawei, now this affair, the Norman case, where I don't know if the general public will pick up on, be able to speak to any of those. But what you do have is 6 months of what they catch is they have impressions of headlines, and they're seeing headlines sort of repeated of, some failure, mismanagement, and they all kind of have the same theme, some ethical lapses. We've talked about how this story goes so much against the branding of the prime minister as, a feminist, as someone who is doing a lot of work on remediation with First Nations. That he ethical and transparent government, all these sort of cross pressures of what their branding and positioning is. So whether the general public is able to kind of dive deep in the specifics of one of these stories, I doubt. But I think an overall impression is being created of a government that is sort of adrift.
All right. Joining us for a discussion here on Zoomer Radio's Fight Back for the latest on the SNC-Lavalin scandal, Kim Wright, Mike Van Solen, Ali Salam.